Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Nun Hey, and we will begin from the Mishnah in the middle of daf Nun Dalid Amid Bey. Talk to Mishnah. Shalu es haskeinim beroimi. The Romans, the Ivdei Avodah Zarah, were having a conversation with the skeinim, the chashev yidden that were living in Roimi. They asked him the following. You know, you Jews, you talk so much about how much Hashem hates Avodah Zarah. He said, if God hates Avodah Zarah so much, why doesn't Hashem, who's a koil yachal, he has the power to do whatever he wants, why doesn't he just rid the world once and for all of Avodah Zarah? So they told him, I'll be honest with you. If the subject of the Avodah Zarah, if the things that the pagans would worship would be something that the world doesn't need, it's probably what Hashem would do. However, the problem is, they worship the sun, and the moon, the stars and the constellations. So if Hashem is going to destroy the Avodah Zarah, he's going to have to destroy the world. Do you think Hashem is going to destroy the world because of you fools? So they told him, they said, I hear. So those four Avodah Zarahs are things that the world needs. You can't have a world without the sun and the moon, the stars and the constellations. But there's a lot of other Avodah Zarah that the world doesn't need. Markulis. We can probably live a day without Markulis. The world doesn't need Pa'ar. So why doesn't Hashem get rid of those Avodah Zarah? So the Skenim told them, could you imagine the Michshul that's going to come about? Because what are you all going to say? You're going to say, so Hashem is going to go destroy all the Avodah Zarah, and he's going to leave these four things around. You're not going to interpret it that really Hashem wants to destroy all the Avodah Zarah in the world. He's just leaving the Avodah Zarah that the world needs. You're going to interpret it that these things must have real powers. They must be real Avodah Zarah. So Marav Shach, Hashem says, there's nothing I could do. I can't destroy the Chama, the Levana, the Kichavim, and the Mazalos, because that's going to force me to destroy the world. And Ya'abi Deilomay Mipnei Ashoitim, there's no way that's going to happen. And to destroy the other Avodah Zarahs and leave those, it's going to give credibility to the Shoitim that maybe these four things have some sort of powers. As a result, Hashem says, I don't have any choice, I have to recuse myself, I cannot in any way, shape, or form destroy the Avodah Zarah. Tana Rabbanan, a braisa that elaborates on this point. The philosophers asked the Skenim, the Ziknei Yisrael and Raimi, if Hashem doesn't like Avodah Zarah, why doesn't he destroy the Avodah Zarah? The same question that was posed to the Skenim Beraimi that we had in our Mishnah. So they told him, the problem is, again, should Hashem destroy the world because of the fools? Hashem is going to allow the world to do its thing. There's fools that are stumbling. Hashem is not going to destroy the world because of fools, because of sinners. They're stumbling. No, so they're stumbling. And one day they're going to have to give them Rechashman. Another place where you find the same idea, that Hashem uses the same methodology in the way the world revolves. And that is, if somebody steals a social chitin, now he sows it, he plants it in the ground. Din hu, in a perfect world, what would happen initially? Titzmach. Nothing would grow because he would be punished, this Gazlin, for doing what he did. You're going to steal, and now all of a sudden you're going to be able to profit off of it. So why doesn't that happen? Because that's the way the world runs. And the fools that sin, they one day are going to have to give din v'cheshman. Another place you find this, if somebody's born an ishish, din hu shalait tisaber. In a perfect world, this woman would not become pregnant. Why does she become pregnant? Again, olam kimen hagay noyeg v'shoylech v'sh. Regarding that third thing, then in a perfect world, if somebody is boil and ashes ish, no child would be born from that. It's not enough that the Risham, they take my coins and they make it hefker. Not just that, when a person is born, he's born with the tzur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man was created, so just like once upon a time, a coin had the tzura of the melech. Even now, you have coins that have the tzura of presidents. So the coin had the tzura of the melech. A person is like a coin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that we carry his image. Man was created in the image of Hashem. Take a look at Rashi and take a look at Mashah in Chidushi Agadah. So if a person goes and he does an Aveira, he's Baileh Chesish, and now a child is born, so what he's doing is he's taking the cell of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, he's making it Hefker. Because even that child, despite the fact that it's going to be a manzer and has a very special place in Halacha, but it still has the tzura, it still has the Vitzelam Alekim. So Hashem says that you're taking my tzura, you're making it hefker, and you're making me go along with it. I have to sign my tzura, so to speak, on this coin. The bottom line is, in a perfect world, it wouldn't work that way. In a perfect world, all the avodah zarah would be destroyed. In a perfect world, if somebody would steal money, he wouldn't be able to return a profit on it. And in a perfect world, if somebody's bayil and eishes ish, no child would be born. So why is it not that way? Elo'olam kimin hagoy noyeg v'hoylech v'shoytim shekilkalu asidim litin esadim. More on this, no child, philosophers echad. It's Rabbi Gamliel, there was a philosopher there. It says in the Torah, and the context over there is Avodah Zarah. So if you look at the context in the Devarim Perek Dalet, so the Pasuk's talking about how terrible Avodah Zarah is, and in that context, the Pasuk says Hashem is an Ish Oichlo. He's a Kael Kano, says the Gemara, or this philosopher asked Rabbi Gamliel, Mipnei Ma Miskana Ba Yivdeh, the Eim Miskana Ba. I don't understand. Why does Hashem get angry? Hashem is a Kael Kano. Kina is Miloshin jealousy. It's also Miloshin anger. The Kana yes kinasi by Pinchas. So we'll see later whether we mean jealousy or whether we mean anger. But regardless, there's some midah, some emotional experience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel has when he sees Avodah Zarah. But who is it targeted at? It's targeted at the Ivde Avodah Zarah. It's not targeted at the Avodah Zarah itself. So the philosopher asked Rabbi Gamliel that we thought about it in our universities, and we concluded that it would actually make more sense for Hashem to express his wrath on the Avodah Zarah, not on the ones that serve the Avodah Zarah. So that was his question. Why isn't it that way? Oh my Lord. So Rabbi Gamliel told the philosopher, I'm shokal Masha Madavadim. I'll explain to you what I'm Masha. The Melech Basavadam Shahila Ben Echad. There was a Melech Basavadan. He had a Ben Echad. He had one son. And that son had a dog. And he named his dog Vehelolei Shem Al Shem Aviv after his father. So this king has a Ben Echad, and the son has a dog, and he names the dog after his father. And it was considered a very disrespectful thing to do. Ukishu Nishba, and when the child would swear, Oimer, he would say, B'chayi Kelev Abba, I swear in the name of my dog. And then he would say the name, which was his father's name. Shama Melech, when the king heard this, Amiu Kayas, Rabbi Gamliel said. So king clearly would not have been happy when he heard this. But who would he be angry at? Ala Ben Hukayas? Or Ala Kelev Hukayas? Have you ever Ala Ben Hukayas? Obviously, he's going to be angry at the son. He's not going to be angry at the dog. The dog is a lowly being that now is carrying the name of the king. So it's true that the dog is being presented as the melech, but the dog didn't do anything. It's the child that did. So in that same vein, the nimshal is that when people take getchkas, they take things that aren't real and they attributed Hashem to it. It's like naming the dog the name of the king. You're giving this getchka, Eitzim Avonim, the Shemesh, the Erech, the name of the Melech. Melech Malchi Amlach Mekodesh Baruch Hu. But just like the king won't get angry at the dog, in that same vein, Hashem's not getting angry at the Avodah Zarah. Hashem's getting angry at the Oivdei Avodah Zarah, just like the father, the king, got angry at the son for naming the dog after him. Either way, so the philosopher heard this, Amalai, so he didn't like the mashal. He said, Kelevat the Kairaisa. Couldn't find a more refined mussel. You're comparing the Avodah Zarah to the dog and the melech. Says, you're calling my Avodah Zarah Kelev? Follow Yeshba Mamish. How could you call my Avodah Zarah a dog? What a disgusting mussel. Now, my Avodah Zarah is not Amaloi Mari. You say, how do you know? Prove it to me. So he says, I'll tell you a story. Amaloi, I'm going to tell you a moifus. There was once a Srefa in our city. The Nisrufa Kola Yerkul, and the entire city burnt down. And there was one house that was standing. After the dust settled, and after the fire and the smoke settled, and that was the Beis Avodah Zarah. So you see that the Beis Avodah Zarah must have some powers, must be a sacred place, must be a holy place, must be that this is a davar sheyesh mei mamish. Rabbi Gamliel says, it doesn't mean that. And I'll explain to you what a mashal. There was a melech basav adam, and some medina rebelled against it. And he went to wage war. So when he goes into the city and he fights war, right? So where does he go? He fights in the cemetery? Oh, yeah, I heard the people in the city are starting up with me. He doesn't go to the cemetery and start knocking over tombstones. He fights with the Chayim. He doesn't fight with the Mason. So he told him it's in the same vein. You know why Hashem never even went after, the fire never went after this temple, because this temple is so silly. It's such a ridiculous place that it was like, Mason, it wasn't even Gerus. It like skipped over it. The fire had an agenda, but the agenda was to go after the Chaim, not to go after the Mason. So now the philosopher was really getting worked up. Amalesi, he told him, Kelevat the Kairoisa, and now Mesat the Kairoisa. So you just add an injury to insult. You called him a Kelev, you called him a Mace. So he says, if that's the case, I'm Kenya Abdenim and Oilam, Amalay, same punchline. If David was something that the world didn't need, he would have destroyed it. The wellsprings, so the gates and the valleys. The bottom line is, it's not going to happen. And really, this idea, this sentiment that was expressed by the Skenim in Roimi to the philosophers in Rome, and then later by Rabbi Gamliel to this philosopher in Rome. So this sentiment is something that's really expressed by one of the Nevi'im, the Novi Tzafanya, right in the beginning of Tzafanya. Tzafanya says, Osef, Osef, kol me'al pnei adam adum Hashem. Osef, says Rashi, miloshen hak. Should I destroy everything? Should I destroy the world? And he continues. He says, Osef Adam u'behema. Hashem says, should I destroy man and behemoths? Osef Oif Hashemayim. Should I get rid of all the birds? Udgei Ayom and the fish? V'amachshelo, says Arishon. These things that cause man to stumble. V'chrati as ha'odom me'al pnei Adam adum Hashem. Should I get rid of Adam? And the greater Gemara explains, well, Adam he'moivdim. V'chrati as Adam el pnei. I can't do it. What am I supposed to do? Meaning, if I'm going to start going and I'm going to start destroying Avodah Zarah, be left with the world anymore, because we're going to have to destroy the Cham and the Levana. We're going to have to destroy the animals, the fish, the birds. We're even going to have to destroy Adam, because even Adam was worshipped. Hashtag Haman. But either way, the bottom line is that says the Rabbi Gamliel, this idea that the Skenim and Raimi said, and really it's attributed all the way back to Tzfanya, that really Hashem would have destroyed Avodah Zarah. It just wasn't possible for him to destroy Avodah Zarah because of the collateral damage that would come about, which is the world would have to cease to exist. Shal Agrifas, Tzar Tzavos, Rabbi Gamliel, Agrifas, who is an important general. So he asked Rabbi Gamliel. Rashi says that this Agrifas lived in the time of the more famous Agrifas, which is Agrifas HaMelech. So Agrifas HaMelech was the last king. He was the last king during Bayis Sheni. The last king during Bayis Rishon was Tzidkiyo. The last king during Bayis Sheni was Agrifas HaMelech. Tzidkiyo was from Malchus Beis David. Agrifas HaMelech was from the family of Herod. He came from Hurdis. But this Agrifas was a Memuna al Roshi Geisois. He was also an Eina Yehudi, and he lived in the time of Agrifas HaMelech. Regardless, he asked Rabbi Gamliel the following question. The pasuk that was quoted earlier. Let's interpret Kana as being jealous. Hashem is a jealous guy. And it's for that reason, when he sees Avodah Zarah, he gets rid of it. So he said, Klumas Kana, Elochacham, Bechacham, Vegiber, Vegiber, Vash, Vash. There's a concept of jealousy. Everybody can relate to it. If somebody's smart, he's Balkishrin. So if he sees somebody that's smarter than him, he gets a little jealous. If somebody's Gvir, he sees somebody that's richer than him, it's a tip to my missile. If somebody is a Gibar, so he's Nispal. He's impressed when he sees somebody that's a bigger Gibar than him. But if, which means that if Hashem is jealous from the Avodah Zarah, doesn't that mean there must be something to the Avodah Zarah? Because nobody gets jealous from silliness. Nobody's going to be jealous from an insect or from an animal because he sees that as being much lower than him. It's not something that he's competing against, Bechlal. So if there's an idea that Hashem is a Kael Kana and his kin is manifest when he sees Avodah Zarah, so doesn't that by definition mean that there must be something to Avodah Zarah? Because otherwise, Lekina Mazuoisa, it wouldn't make any sense. On my lois, Rabbi Gamliel told him, there was a man that was married. And Prichem Darbeinu Gershon, he took a second wife. Chashuva mimeno, if the second wife is more chashuv than the first wife, in miskanaba, then the first wife is going to be okay. So apparently the psychology once was that a woman would be okay if her husband took in a second wife, as long as the second wife was more chashuv than her. But p'chusa mimeno miskanaba, but if she's less than her, then already she's going to feel bad. Because I guess maybe it shows a lack of chshivas that he has for her. That this is the way you view me. These are the types of wives that you take. Someone that's a pachus. So in the same vein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, feels that, you know, if you were replacing me for something that's chasha memela. But to the contrary, the reason you have this midah of kina is daika because Klal Yisrael is replacing Hashem for something that's very, very lowly. And that's what is ma'ira, this feeling of kina. Amalei zoinin l'Rabbi Akiva. Zunin told Rabbi Akiva. He said, libi v'libach yada d'avidus kechavim lesme mashasha. You and I both know that Avodah Zarah has no mashasha. There's nothing to it. So the question was, but at the same time, I've seen people, they enter the temple with some issue, and they walked out, they had a refuah. My timer. Why does that happen? So he told him, explain to you what a mashal. There was a person who people trusted. So this person had a good credit rating. He was a very honest person. People trusted him, and people would give him pikdoinos. They would leave things by him. Shaloi be'edim. They wouldn't even require it. But the mechod, ve'evkelei be'edim. One person, however, didn't trust him. He says, you know, I don't trust this guy. So he would give him pikdoinos, but when he'd give him something to watch, he required edim. He needed a shtar, senior secure. This person, he tied him up with all the bells and whistles. He wasn't someone that was just going to trust him with his money or with his chayfetz. He needed this thing to be completely locked up. One time, this person who didn't trust the nifkat gives him something to watch, and he forgot to do it with eid. So the shomer pekadin's wife turns to the shomer and he says, why don't we deny it? If this person doesn't trust us, the joke's on him. He always has eidim. Now we gave it to shaloi beidim. So we have good plausible deniability now, because we can tell him, he says, what do you mean? You're always giving me an Adam. Bring the Adam. And if you can't bring the Adam, there's no way I'm going to have to give it back. So let's just keep it. Now we'll show him. Amar lo, so the husband turned to the wife and he said, it's true. This guy's a shaita. He's a shaita for not believing us. And he's a shaita because if he doesn't believe us, then he should make sure that he, in fact, gives us the pekod with Adam. But we have a reputation, and we're not going to lose our reputation because of this person. Afkach, says the Gemara, a fascinating nimshal. Yisurim. When a person has Yisurim, b'shoshim b'shagin oisal al-odim, when Hashem sends Yisurim on a person, mashbi in oisai, Hashem makes the Yisurim swear, shalai tel chu elu b'yayim ployni, that they're going to go on the day that the Yisurim are supposed to come to the person. For and they're going to leave on the day that they're supposed to leave. Ubishah ployness, the exact hour. Vayidei ployni, who the shliach, what the form of the Yisurim is going to be. Vayidei sam ployni, and how it's going to be healed. Who the doctor is going to be, what the refuah is going to be. The Yisurim have a shlichus, and the Yisurim swear, so to speak, that they're going to keep their shlichos. Keep in sigiyas man lotzis. When the time comes for the Yisurim to leave, at that point, the Yisurim is going to do its thing. What would happen, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Akiva Tezunin, if this Udal, he walked into his base of Avodah Zarah at the precise time, that day, that moment that the Yisurim is supposed to leave. So what's the Yisurim supposed to do now? On the one hand, the Yisurim swore. They swore that they're going to leave at the right time. But then again, if they're going to leave now, right when this guy finished davening his Shema Nesrei, so what's it going to look like? It's going to look like that he prayed and God answered, and suddenly he had this unbelievable Yeshua. Amri Yisurim, see Yisurim, they sit down, they make the cheshbin, and they say, Din hu shalei netze. Maybe we shouldn't leave. V'chayzrim v'yayimim. On second thoughts, they say, V'chinei sheshoyt ezel isa shalei gehoigin. Anu na'avin shfuaseinu. Because this fool davens to Avodah Zarah. And he's going to now walk away thinking that there's something to the Avodah Zarah. Should we violate our shvuah? That's Rabbi Yechon, what he said. What does that mean? That the chaloyim, the machlo, it's raw, it's bad, because it's painful, and it's yusurim, but at the same time, nemonim, they're trustworthy. Run b'shlichusam. But at the same time, nemonim b'shvuasam, they keep their shvuah, they do exactly what they were supposed to do. It's an amazing Gemara. Every prat in the Yisurim is figured out, it's worked out. Yisurim are not acting on their own. This is all the shlichos. It's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The precise moment, the doctor, the refuah. It's incredible, incredible Gemara. Either way, Amalei Rav Bar Yitzchak to Rav Yehuda. Rav Bar Yitzchak told Rav Yehuda, similar exchange. You know, there's a base of Eidazar, there's a temple in our shtetl. If there's ever a hunger and people need rain, so this Eidazar appears to somebody in a dream. And he tells him, I want you to shecht a person, human sacrifice. And if you do that, it's going to rain. Shachtul Gavrasa Mitra. And it was a ma'aseh shayikach. This has happened. Sounds like maybe it happened more than once. So you see, there must be something to Rabbi Dazar. Amalei. So Rabbi Yehuda told him, Hashti, yihav eshachiv no layam eluchol milsa. I'm so happy I'm alive. And you asked me this question, because had I died, you wouldn't have been able to ask me this question. You'd be walking around all confused and maybe even thinking that there's something to Rabbi Dazar. The Omar Rav, the answer is based on something I heard from my Rabbi Rav. Yehuda was a Talmud Muvak of Rav. Yehuda learned by Rav. That's why you find Omar Rav. Yehuda learned by Shvul. That's why you find Omar Rav.
on Shmuel. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Yudas, I'll tell you what I heard from my greatest Rebbe. He said, Ma'idach said, what's Pshat in the Pasuk? Where the Pasuk talks about Avodah Zarah, and it says Avodah Zarah was given, Ashecholak Hashem Elokecha Oysam L'chol Am. It almost sounds like when you read the Pasuk, that it's understood that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah should worship Avodah Zarah. Ashecholak Hashem gave it L'chol Am. This is an important Rabban al-Tayram, Rabban, we've spoken about it over the years, not for this morning. But either way, what does it mean, Ashecholak? Rav Yehuda said, I'll tell you what I heard from Rav. Melamed shechlikam bedvarim. Hechlikam means he was machshol them. Manichim litois, says Rashi. That Hashem does it sometimes, kedei letardon min ha'olam. Meaning, if this would never show any powers in the world, so it would look like it's so silly, it's so foolish, nobody would ever go to the Avodah Zarah, and there would be no time at all to worship Avodah Zarah. Hashem, in order to make Avodah Zarah be what it's supposed to be, and be a stumbling block for the Rishon, every now and again, the Avodah Zarah has to get lucky. And that's what happened. So it's true, there's a Maisa Shahaya where the Avodah Zarah appears to somebody in a dream. It was all done with the kivun, kidel turdim in oil. Bahenu domre shlokish, my dechsiv, im leletzim hu yalitz, ulanovim yitin chain, but the time we all know this gemar, personally, if somebody wants to do bad, Paischenloi, we allow him to. Balitayer, Messiah. When it comes to Tumah, it's only Paischenloi. When it comes Litayer, it's actually Messiah Noisek. What's the Lashon Rabbin, the Marsha, the Malachim, the Sarim? I've spoken about all these things many, many times over the years, but the bottom line is, it's this idea that there's a concept of Balitama Paischenloi, that Hashem allows the Ivdi Avodah Zarah to actually stumble and to make a mistake, and sometimes something out of character, something that really shouldn't happen, a Moifis of some sort, can happen, and the whole idea is, Kideh Litarda Min Ha'olam. Exhale. So the truth is, this is quite an exhale, because we're really completing now a whole nother part of Masechtas Avodah Zarah. This next Mishnah is going to begin an entire new subject, a subject that's going to last really on and off for quite some time, and that is the sugyas of Yayinesek. So we spoke a lot about Cholov and Shemen and Paspalter and Bisholak, and the sugyas of Yayin is really the next part of the Masechta. But before we do that, just a few short ha'aras as it relates to the Gemara that we just learned. The first thing is, I thought it was interesting that throughout this Gemara, which are exchanges between philosophers, pagans, heathens, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the Chachamim, the Skenim and Roimi, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are referred to as shaitan. They're referred to as fools. Rambam, in the end of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, it's the end of Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchas Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says as follows, after discussing Avodah Zarah in great detail, says the Rambam, V'dvarim ha'elu kulam divrei sheker v'chazam. Says the Rambam, FYI, you should know all this Avodah Zarah that we've been talking about, it's sheker and it's chazam. V'hein shehitu ben Ovdei Avodah Zarah ha'kadmoinim l'goya ha'rotzeis k'dei she'ahanu achareyim. Avodah Zarah came into being, they got into business because there were people who wanted to manipulate the Hamoinam. They did it for their own personal benefits. They were going to profit off of it. That's why there's Avodah Zarah in the world. But really, it's Sheker and it's Chazav. Ve'in roi li Yisrael, she'in chachomim mechukomim, lehimashech behavolim elu, v'le lahalis al halev she'esh behem tala. A Yid, who are chachomim mechukomim, Jews, they're too smart to be nimshach after this hevel. She'nemar k'li nachesh b'yakv lekesem Yisrael. Ve'nemar, Rambam quotes another pasuk. Then he says, k'lamayim b'dvarim elu, any person that believes in the powers of Avodah Zarah, and he says that I know there's something to it. There's real powers that this Avodah Zarah has, but just like I don't eat Nevela, I don't worship Avodah Zarah. It's just not for me, because I'm a Jew. But someone who thinks that, the Bali Chachma know with Rayos Bruis Shekol Elo Advarim Shasra Torah Ein on Divrei Chachma Elotoyu VeHevel Shenimshchu BaHen Chaseri Hadas VeNitchu Kol Darkei HaEmes BeGlolam. And the Rambam says it's for that reason when the Torah was Mazral Kol Elo HaHavolim. The pasuk says, "Tamim tia Hashem alikecha." The mitzvah to stay away from Avodah Zarah isn't just overcome the yetzahara you have for Avodah Zarah. It's much deeper than that. Be smart. Don't be a fool. Don't go after the divrei scholim, mechasrei das, the havolim, because only fools worship Avodah Zarah. Because the Rambam was of the opinion very, very strongly that Avodah Zarah is foolish. There is absolutely no mamish whatsoever in Avodah Zarah. So you do it that the Ramban, throughout his Pirush al Torah, argues with this Rambam. The Ramban, in maybe 20 places, talks about how Avodah Zarah works. We've spoken about it in the past. We don't have time to go into the thesis of the Ramban this morning. But the bottom line
line is, it seems to be a machlokes Rambam and Ramban, and really Rambam connected all the Rishonim. The Rambam seemed to have been the Das Yochid. The Rambam felt very, very strongly that v'dvarim ma'elu kulam divrei sheker v'chazavein, and it's a long sif cut in the last sif in Perek Yud Aleph in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. It's interesting. The Machaber in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, it's in Simen Kuf Ayin Tes Siv Katan Vav. The Machaber over there is talking about different lachashim, different incantations that are mentioned throughout Shas. And the Machaber says, Misha Nashchei Akroiv, if somebody is bitten by a scorpion, Mutal Lilchei Shalav, you're allowed to recite a cantation. Vafilu B'Shabbos, Tuk Chedushim. Number one, you're allowed to recite the incantation. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, you can do it on Shabbos, even though refuah b'Shabbos is aser. But this type of refuah is mutter even on Shabbos. Says the Mechaber, va'afal pi she'ein adover moil klum, even though the lachashim don't work, hoyul umesukanhu, being that this person is in a state of sakana, he tiru kadesh like the tarif daiteyala. This is hashtag the placebo effect. Says the Mechaber, even though it doesn't work, it's a waste of time, it's silly, but people think it works. I mean, the people think it works. Do it. And do it even on Shabbos. That's the Mechaber. Here you have the placebo effect. It's in Yerideya Simen Kufayin Tes, Siv Katan Vav. And on this Mechaber, it's Yodua that the Vilna Gaon said that the Makar to this Mechaber is the Rambam. And the Rambam says it in his Yad Chazaka. He says it in his Pirush HaMishnayos. He says it in the Meir Nevoichim also. But that what? That the Lachoshin that I mentioned throughout Shas, are dvarim she'ein ben mamish. They don't work. Av says the gro, avol kol haba machrov. Everybody that followed the Rambam, Chilko all have argued with the Rambam. Shari harba l'choshen emru b'gemara. Because there are many l'choshen that are mentioned in the Gemara. So if it's all silly and l'choshen don't work, then why does the Gemara talk so much about it? So from the fact that the Gemara talks so much about l'choshen, that's a raya that l'choshen really works. So why the Rambam believe that it doesn't work? Says the gro, v'hu nimshach achra philosophy. It's because the Rambam studied philosophy. V'lochein kosav, and it's for that reason, says the Rambam, he was influenced by his study. He wrote Shofim, Kishuf, Vishemois, Vilachoshim, Vishadim, Vikimeois, Hakoil Husheker. But says the Vilna Goyim, Avul Kfarhiku Oisei Al Katkadai, but the Rambam already was attacked, so to speak. Shari Motzino Harbi Maiseis Bigamara, Al Pishemois, Vikshofim, and he quotes Psukim in the Torah, does the Gra, and many, many Gemaras, and at the end of the day, says the Gra, there's so many Rayas, Rabu Milasaper. There's no room in my Bir HaGra. I mean, the Bir HaGra is written B'tachlis HaKitzer. He says there's no room here in the Bir HaGra to even, to write Ayin. This is so many Mar Mekoymas for this. So why the Rabbam say this? He writes it again. Ha philosophy hitzoy, Beroiv Lachal Afarish HaGemara, Akol B'derech Haltzi, V'lakaroysam Yipshotem, V'chas V'sholem, says the Goyin, Eini Maimin Bohem. I don't believe even what the Rambam says. Either way, Dvarim Leflam. So the Rambam writes very, very strongly the context story is Avodah Zarah, but as you see, it doesn't just relate to Avodah Zarah. It relates to Lachoshim, it relates to Kameos, even Shemos, and different things that you find throughout the Gemara, that a work somehow with outside the world, the realm of physical and rational, the Rambam held that these things were not emes. It's all silliness that the world once upon a time believed, and it's for that reason the Rambam says, V'dvarim elu kulam divrei sheker v'chazavim. But the Goyin, and really, it comes from the Rishonim, Kfar hiku oisei al kadkadei, they didn't agree. I mean, the first thing that came to mind was the Sugya. The Sugya continuously refers to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah as shaitim, refer to them as fools. I mean, it's just interesting that fools, usually you think of, not about taivas, a fool, as gunish kan shaita, you know, yes, he has taivas, but a shaita is not. But you see this idea of it throughout this Gemara, shaitim. What came to mind, of course, was Avodah Zarah d'Abezam Adbez, also Shaitim Shabbailam, right? Why would they call Shaitim? Maybe the Avodah Zarah were always called Shaitim, and throughout this Gemara they were called Shaitim. But either way, this Gemara at first glance would seem to be maybe a little bit of a makar to the Rambam, just the fact that they're referred to throughout this Gemara as fools. I mean, that's what the Rambam did. If you count up the amount of times the Gemara says Shaitim, it almost mirrors the amount of time the Rambam uses the word Hevel and Sheker and Chazam in his Yad Chazaka. Regardless, this Gemara, the whole feeling of the Gemara seems to be fools. That's the first aura. Second aura is the Gemara quoted a pasuk that Hashem is a ish kashem elokecha ish oichlohu kel kana. Hashem is a jealous God, so to speak, and Hashem gets angry at the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and uses this midah of kel kana. The truth is, this lashon of kel kana appears in another place in the Torah. We're all familiar with it. It's in the Aseres Hadibros. Second one of the Aseres Hadibros is, Lo yiyah lo choy alihim acherim aponoi. Al Shileshim Val Ribeim Lesoinai Vaisachesil Alofim Lehavoi Ulishoime Mitzroisai. So you see this Loshin of Kael Kana over there. It's not in the context of Aseres Hadibros, but here too, in Aseres Hadibros, you find this Loshin of Kael Kana. The Ramban, in his Pirush al HaTorah, on this pasuk right here, brings that the Rambam in his Moir Nevuchim says, "Shelo timotze b'chol haTorah u'b'chol sifrei hanaviim." The Rambam says that he went through Tanakh, of course, and he says if you go through Tanakh, there's certain lashonos that you find by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You find a lashon charei naf, Hashem got angry. You find a lashon kas. You find a lashon of kina. Says the Rambam. Every single time you find any one of those lashonos, charoin af kas or kin, it's always in the context of avodah zarah. If it's not avodah zarah, you're never going to find such a lashon. That's what the Rambam says. Says the Ramban, it's not true, because you find by yichar af Hashem b'moisha, by yichar af Hashem bam vayelach. You find it by Eiv. Says the Ramban, it's not true. But there's one part of what the Rambam observed. The Ramban says that I agree with, and that is the lashon kina. So kas charoin af, I'll find you other places in Tanakh that have nothing to do with avodah zarah. So we have to learn up the Rambam, but the Ramban says at first glance, I have other psukim where you find those lashonos even now in the context of avodah zarah. As it relates to kina, the only place you find it is in the context of avodah zarah. Says the Ramban, why is that? V'tama kina ki Yisrael skulas Hashem hanichbad asher hivdilam loy. The reason is because Klal Yisrael is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's nation. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation, they go and they start worshiping Elohim Acherim, Hashem is going to get jealous. Just like a husband will be jealous if he found out that his wife was with another man. And it's for that, in that same exact context, that Lashon of Kina applies here, because we could all understand that. A man who is married, his wife now suddenly has another man, the husband's gonna get jealous. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, You're my bride, and now all of a sudden, Elohim Acherim, the Lashon is meat, Kina, and that's the only place you find Kina. Kina you only find in the context of Avodah Zarah, because the idea is Kaviyachol that Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, who's the bride, as we had earlier in the Masechta, Shir Hashirim is all this muscle between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the groom, and Klal Yisrael, the bride. That is what Shir Hashirim is. So there's this ichus relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when we go to Elohim Acherim, what we're doing is we're violating our marriage. And just like the husband's going to have kina, it's in that same context that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have kina as well. And that's what you find over here, Lashon of Kina. And then Rabban brings an unbelievable Mechilta. We spoke this out when we learned Masechta Sanhedrin. V'kan chomru b'mechilta. Kino ani nifra mi avodah zarah, aval ani chanun v'racham v'dvar macherim. Unbelievable. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a Kael Kana. But you can ask me a kasha. Am I not also a Kael Rachum v'chanun? An Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed v'Emes? Am I not a Noitza Chesed l'alofim? So which one is it? Is Hashem a Kael Kana? Or is Hashem a Rachum v'chanun? Says the Mechilta, like kasha. One is avodah zarah. And one is when it comes to everything else. Bekina ani nifra me avodah zarah, aval ani rachu v'chanun, when it comes to dvarim acherim. And I think you see here an unbelievable thing. You see that the midah of Kael Kana is the antithesis of the midah of rachu v'chanun. See, Kael Kana can't coexist with rachu v'chanun. That's Mechiltas Kasha. Which one is it? That's Hashem a Kael Kana, or is Hashem Kael rachu v'chanun? Kael Kana or Kael rachu v'chanun? It can't be both. So much so that the Mechilta has to say a teres. Mechilta says, ordinarily Hashem is a Rachum Mechanon, but when it comes to Avodah Zarah, then Hashem is not a Rachum Mechanon, then Hashem is actually a Kael Kana. It's interesting, the Ramban, I forgot to bring the Ramban with me, but in Parashas Veschanan, the Ramban says the same thing. On that posik of Ki Hashem Alekecha Eish Oichla Kael Kana, it's a very short Ramban, the Ramban says, Kael Kana Ani Nifra Lehem B'midah Sadeh. It's the same Ramban. What does it mean, Midas Adin? Because Rachum Chanun are the Yud Gimel Midas Shal Rachamim. So ordinarily, there's a Midas Harachamim. Rachum Chanun, Erech Hapayim, Rav Chesed V'Emes. But over here, there's an idea when it comes to Avodah Zarah. It's not the Midas Harachamim, it's the Midas Adin. So when we learn Masechta Avodah Zarah, we said a Geshmak Ha'ara. We said that maybe that's Pshat in the Mesis and the Madiach. Mesis and Madiach, the Torah says, Loi Sachma V'Loi Sachas Olav. And it was an idea that permeated the entire Masechta Sanhedrin. That the way Bezdin would judge the Mesis and Madiach was different than the way they judged all other people that were high of capital punishment. Usually, after Rachmanis is an idea of Yitzilu Eidah, but when it comes to the Mesis of Madiach, the Torah says, have no Rachmanis on the Mesis. Why are you not supposed to have Rachmanis on the Mesis? We're Rachmanim, we're Baishanim, we're Goyim Lechasnadim, Rachmunim, B'nai Rachmunim. So why, how come all of a sudden when it comes to the Mesis of Madiach, you're not supposed to have Rachmanis? It's Gevaldik. Because why do we have Rachmanis? Falachta bedrachav. Mahu rachum, af atarachum. Our midas harachamim. The reason we're real rachmanim is because our rachamim isn't just because we feel morally and ethically that's the right thing to do. It's not because, you know, we took a vote and everyone sort of decided that the right way, you know, in Nazi Germany, they were also rachmanim. And then they decided to kill the Jews and the rest is history. We're rachmanim because we believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum, an absolute perfect rachum. And mahu rachum, af atarachum. What governs us being a rachum is the fact that we're following midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum, Hashem is zonas ha'olam, mi beitze kenin, ad karni re. That's what we do. We follow in the midos rachum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by avodah zarah, where even HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not a rachum v'chanun. What does Hashem say? Bekine ani nifra me avodah zarah. Aval ani rachum v'chanun bedvarim acherim. So when it comes to avodah zarah, where Hashem himself is not a rachum, we don't have to be a rachum either. So here the Torah says, lo yisachma v'lo yisachasol, v'meisim adia. Someone that's being machshel the rabbim, he's getting the rabbim to be oyved avodah zarah. So over there, we're not a rachum. You know why? Because here it's avodah zarah. When it comes to avodah zarah, Hashem himself's not a rachum v'chanun. So you don't have the mahu rachum, the mahu chanun. The male push it back to the envelope of arithmetic. There's no chiv for us to be a rachum, for us to be a chanun. But just one other thought that I had was, you know, we speak so much in the daf about the idea of tzaddikim, medaktikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu kechut asayra. Hashem is medaktik with the tzaddikim kechut asayra. That means a tzaddik, he gets judged bediktu gadol, something that ordinarily Hashem maybe wouldn't punish a person for. But when it's a tzaddik, over there it's even kechut asayra. We always speak out from the Goyen and the Ramami Pano and from the Shlach Kodesh. We found it in the Teres Chaim also on Avod Zor, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that being that it was all about machshava to create the world with midas adin, so there was a machshava of Midas Adin, the Machshava Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a Bria. There's a Bria Midas Adin. So ordinarily, Hashem conducts the world, like Rashi brings in the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, with Midas Arachamin. But the Olam HaMachshava to create the world of Midas Adin created a Metzius of Midas Adin in the Olam. And that Metzius of Midas Adin is manifest with the Tzadikim. Tzadikim who can handle it, Tzadikim where Hashem will punish even for the subtlest of things in this world, so that they can get a perfect schar in the next world. The Tzadikim are the ones that have this Hanhog of Midas Adin. So this idea that Hashem is Medakti Kechut HaSayra with the Tzadikim, it's not like a punk. We're just like a, we analyze it a little bit, we bring in a forensic order, and he looked, no, that's not what it is. It's a whole different midah. There's the Kisei Shaldin, there's the Kisei Sharachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on the Kisei Shaldin when he judges the Tzadikim. It's the Kisei Sharachamim when he judges the rest of the world. The Svar Makdoshim say that's what Hashem meant when he told Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said, when he saw the Rabbi Akiva being tortured by the Romans, and Hashem said, I mean, Moshe tells Hashem, Zu Torah, Zu Schara. So what did Hashem say? Kach olafanim b'machshava. What does it mean, kach olafanim b'machshava? It was the machshava to create the world of Midas Adin that created a Metzias and Midas Adin. You're right, in a world of Rachamim, it doesn't make sense. Rabbi Akiva, Zu Torah, Zu Schara. But in a world of Din, it's different. But what comes out, there's two ideas now where you find a concept of Midas Adin by Lamazah. You find it by the Tzadikim, the great Tzadikim like Rabbi Yakiva, Zu Torah, Vizu Schara, because that's Kachal Fonim Machshav, the Svarmak, say that's Yakiv, all Yakiv's Yisurim is based on Yeli Kimi Madi, because he had the Midas Adin in Parshas Vayetzeh. And then you find it also by the Rasham Gemur. You find it by the Oide Avodah Zarah. Like the Ramban says in Parshas Vayetzeh, the Eish Oichlo, it's the Midas Adin, and you have this Mechilta. Bekina ani Nifra me Avodah Zarah, Avalani Chanim Rachim Midvar Machir. So it's the two opposite ends of the spectrum. On the one hand, the tzaddikim gemurim, they are somehow governed with the midas adin, and then you have the rishon gemurim. You have the ovdei avodah zarah that are also governed with midas adin. So just a little something to think about. There's some more raid, but let's start the next sugya. If we have a little bit of time, it is Sunday, so if we have a little bit of time, maybe we'll come back. We'll speak out one other hour. Either way, so we completely shift our attention now to the sugyas of Yayin Nesach. So, Yetz Hashem, tomorrow we'll do maybe a proper intro on Yayin Nesach. But for now, we just have to remember that when you talk about Yayin Nesach, there's three subcategories. Number one, Yayin that a guy physically poured L'Avodah Zarah. That's easy. So if a guy pours Yayin L'Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah is Aser Pshtia. That Yayin is Aser Behana. It's the Kravis L'Avodah Zarah. It's learned out from Vayitzmedu L'Bal Pa'ar. That the Kravis L'Avodah Zarah is treated like Zivchei Mesim. And just like Zivchei Mesim, this is going to be Asabano as well. And we spoke out last Sunday, Tosfos, and Avodah Zarah, Lamed Beis, where Tosfos says that even though throughout Masechtas Avodah Zarah, whenever the Gemara brings this idea that the Kravis L'Avodah Zarah is Zivchei Mesim, the Gemara brings it in the name of Rav Yudah ben Beseira, this is the one place where the Gemara doesn't bring it in the name of Rav Yudah ben Beseira. And the Ri, Machlekes Rav Yudah Tam and the Ri, but the Ri said the reason is because as it relates to the Ikur Isser Hanah, everybody agrees that there's an idea of Zivchei Mesim.
The question is how far to take this hakdish. It's mamish zivchei mesim. It's matama ba'oil like a mesim matama ba'oil. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Maaseir. Rabbi Yehuda Maaseir said that I'm going to take this hakdish and run with it. That was the chidush of Rabbi Yehuda Maaseir that you find throughout Masechta Avodah Zarah. But as it relates to the ikar idea to kravis Avodah Zarah is aser banah. It's aser b'dar. And the truth is all to kravis Avodah Zarah is aser. It doesn't matter if it's a carbon. It doesn't matter if it's yayin. It doesn't matter if it's the hair that they shave in these Indian temples, like we spoke about on front. So the point is that all tekrevus l'avodah zarah is going to be aser. It's aser m'day raisa. That's the first category of yayin esach. Second category of yayin esach is stam yayinah. So just like there's a problem of cholav akum, there's a problem of pas akum, there's a problem of yayin akum. If the guy owns the yayin, he produced it. If you know what the exact definition of stam yayinah is, it's a little bit tricky. But a guy's wine is going to be aser. So it's just one of the things. Bishul akum, there's a concept of stam yayinah. And then the third, the one that's the most shchiach, and the one that's very much negay lemaisa, we're going to get into those sugyas now this entire week, and that is a yid who has wine, and a guy touches it. So if a guy touches your chalav, it doesn't become ois chalav Yisrael. If he touches your bread, it doesn't suddenly become pas palter. That's not what happens. But if he touches your wine, and by some people, even if the guy looks at the wine, right, then all of a sudden the wine suddenly becomes pas mavosho, etc. But the bottom line, or it's expensive. No, but the point is that there's an idea of yayin shal yisrael shenoga b'yakum. So again, there's the real yayin esach, that's yayin that a guy was menasech labo yedazar. There's stam yayinim, that's yayin that belongs to a guy that he produced, or maybe he owns, if you know what the definition is. And then you have yayin shal yisrael that a guy merely touched. So really, in order to understand this mishnah, we have to get a little technical, which is above my pay grade, but we just have to get a little technical in terms of understanding how once upon a time wine was produced. So just to really dumb it down as much as possible. So once upon a time, the way wine was produced is you'd have a keli. I'm sure there's a fancy name to describe this keli, but we'll call it a Zwischen Heimische. So there was a keli, and this keli, the wine producers would take grapes, they put it inside this keli, and they would start crushing the grapes. They would crush it either with their feet or with a kair or with beams, and they would crush the grape. The idea was that juice should start oozing out of the grapes, which eventually was going to become wine. Now, this keli was attached to a shoot. The wine, the juices that would come out of the grapes would start flowing down the chute, and it would go to a bar. And the bar, Rashi says, was either a real bar, it was a pit. It was a pit that they would line with sid. Rashi's lashon is, it was a bar sid she'ine ma'apetipa, of Masechtas Avos fame. Or sometimes it would be a container, just another keli that was inside this pit. And as the juices would flow down this chute, it would start the psoilus, that was the parts of the grapes that you didn't want for the wine production, would start separating itself from the juices itself. They usually have like a sieve of some sorts on the bottom of the chute. So by the time it got to the pit, you didn't have all the chazarai, all the parts of the grapes that you didn't really want. You only had the chelik that you wanted. They would leave it in that pit for a little while. Some of the psoilus that had to separate would sink to the bottom, would separate. Then they would take the wine from the pit. They would start bottling it. They would leave it in the bottle for a little bit of time. And there was another separation process, all of which is going to be discussed in the Gemara. Regardless, the topic of this Mishnah is, at what point does Yayin become Stam Yayinam? Or at what point does Yayin become Yayin Shel Yisrael Shenoga Bayakov? So if a guy touches wine, it's a problem. So the question is, we're in the process of producing the wine. We're in the process of actually manufacturing it, producing it. So when do we look at it as being Yayin and say, oh, if a guy touches it, at this point, there's going to be an issue. Zok to Mishnah, Loitchin Gas Be'uta Min Ha'ovet Kechavim. You're allowed to buy Gas Be'uta from a guy. You're allowed to buy wine from a guy, as long as it's in the gas. The gas is that first keli, that container that's on the top of the chute, meaning any juices that's there, even though in theory you can maybe look at it as wine, but being that it's still in the early stages of the wine production, it hasn't even gone down the chute yet. So at this point, we don't look at it yet as yayin. If we don't look at it halachically as lion, the halacha is you're allowed to buy it from a guy. It doesn't have a din of stam yayinah. And the Mishnah says, afal pisha hu noitel biyadai v'noisen letapuach. This is true, even though sometime the guy would take the grapes and we would put it on the tapuach. What happened is, so in this top keli, you have all the grapes, and they're pressing it. And they would press it either with their feet or with a beam. That was the way it was done. Now, what would happen is you'd press it as much as possible, the grapes would start dispersing within this keli.
but you wanted to do a round two, try to kvetch out every little bit of yain you can get. So they would take the grapes, they would put it back into a hump, that's the tapuach, and they would do round two. When they gathered the grapes for the second round, and then the third round, and then the fourth round, at that point they were count, they were already touching it with their hands. Being that they were touching it with their hands, solkatayt chamina, maybe now the guy touched it, so maybe he's certainly not allowed to take it. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That any juices that's in the gas, that's the upper container, this upper keli, you're allowed to buy from a guy. We don't look at it as tam yeinam shalev to kechafim. And the chiddush is that even if the guy touched it, aval pishu noitel biyadai, emphasis on biyadai, the noisei letapuach, to put it back in the sum to do it again, it doesn't matter. Ve'ein noisei yayin esech ad sheyeru the bar, it doesn't become yayin esech until it goes to the bar, meaning until it goes to the pit that's on the bottom. Yeru the bar, when it went to the bar, mashav abara. So whatever's in the bar, sir, is, whatever's in the bar is as vashar mutter, and everything else is gonna be mutter. Meaning, what if some of it is in the bar, and some of it is not in the bar yet? So you don't say, being that some of it is in the bar, all of it becomes aser. No, whatever's in the bar is aser. Whatever's in the gas is going to be mutter. So the gas, in layman's terms, is that upper keli. The bar is the pit. That's where it's going to end up on the bottom. Whatever's in the gas is always going to be mutter. Even if the guy touched it, it doesn't matter. Whatever's in the bar, that's always going to be aser. Another halacha, dorchin ima oivik kechavim bagas. You let it work together with the guy to press his grapes. Now, what's the chiddush? Why is it a chiddush that you're allowed to work together with the guy to press the grapes? The chiddush is because there's an idea that we'll see in the Gemara, a machloikis, whether a person is allowed to make something tame, even chulin, in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you know, you're not allowed to make truma tame. You're not allowed to make kachim tame. What about chulin? Are you allowed to make chulin tame? So first class, you say, why not? And the truth is, midday raisa, it's a good point. Why not? But midrabanan, there is an idea, we'll see, that maybe you're not allowed to. And the reason you're not allowed to is exera. That if you're going to go and you're going to be metamba yuchulin in Eretz Yisrael, you might be metamba kachim and truma. That's what truma and kachim is. No truma and kachim really in chutzlars. So if you're going to be metamba chulin, you're going to end up being metam. So there's a havamina that if you're working together with a guy, and the guy is pressing his grapes, and he's pressing it in a gas, and that gas is tameh. So a guy is not nizer and tumah. Even the Haaretz Yisraelim weren't nizer and tumah. Certainly the guy wasn't nizer and tumah. And what happens is, the grapes, as soon as they become moist, as soon as a little bit of juice comes out of it, it becomes huchsher lekabel tumah. Now it's in contact with the gas, now it's going to be tameh. So there's a thought that maybe you shouldn't even be allowed to be derech together with the guy, because by you being derech together with the guy, maybe you're being metama the chulin. And you're not allowed to be metama chulin. Additionally, another reason why maybe this should be an issue is because you're not allowed to benefit from yayin esek. So by you getting paid as a laborer, as an employee working, being derech anav him, being that there's yayin there, maybe you're benefiting from yayin esek. So says the Mishnah, darchin ema oivek kechavim begas. You're allowed to be derech. And kamash v'lan tuchedush. Number one, it's not yayin esek, working backwards. That was really the reish of the Mishnah, that when it's in the gas, it's not yayin esek. So if it's not yayin esek, what's in the gas, it's not stam yeinam, there's no issue of isur yayin as it relates to oivek kechavim, so there's no problem of benefiting from the guy. So that's not an issue. As it relates to the second thing, of being metama, that's not an issue either. And Rashi says, because the koyde majricha, because when you, the guy started doing this before the yid came, he was already metama the graves. So once it's tame, there's no problem of being moisef tame. Meaning, the way Rashi is explaining the Mishnah, the only time it's really mutter is if the guy started and then the yid joined. But Anachanami, if the yid would be joining the guy initially, at that point it would be a problem. Again, there's no yayin nesech issue, because it's not yayin nesech when it's in the gas. That was the ratio. That was the Mishnah. But as it relates to the second thing, that maybe would be a problem. As long as the guy started before the yid, so it's already tummy. Once it's tummy, there's no inyan of being mice of tumah. Stating that, the Mishnah says, Abalei baitzim yu. You're not allowed to harvest the grapes together with the guy. And here Rashi says a little bit of a lundus. Because even though when you harvest the grapes aren't tummy yet, because they only are going to become tummy when they enter the gas. But being that you harvested, adaited the hachi to put it in the gas, and when it gets into the gas, it's going to become tummy. It's for that reason, says the Mishnah, that loy baitzer mima, even though you're technically not being metama chulin in Eretz Yisrael, still it's something that's going to be an issue. Another halach, Yisrael shu oise betumah. What about a yid that's oise betumah? There the halach is loy darchin for loy baitzer mima. There you're not allowed to be direch, and you can't be baitzer. You can't be baitzer. He's Yisrael that's oise betumah, because he's being metama chulin. You can't be direch either. You can't press with him. What's the difference between a yid and a guy? Why can't you do it with a yid? Same reason, l'chur, you'd be metam l'chulin. But didn't we say that with a guy you're allowed to? Because Rashi explained it with his aikimta, so that the guy started doing it already. So now, you're just being Moisef Toma, there's no issue of being Moisef Toma. There's an issue of creating the Toma. There's no issue of being Moisef. So what's the difference if the guy is the one that started or the Yid started? At the end of the day, it's the same thing. Rashi says, here it's different. Because if a Yid's doing it, he's an Over Avera. Because you're not allowed to be Metamechula. You'll be Mesayeya Yidei Over Avera. And even though the Avera maybe was already done, it doesn't matter. We look at it as one long Maisa Dricha. Don't get involved in an act that's a Maisa Avera. You're being Mesayeya Yidei Over Avera. So again, when it comes to working in a wine press together with a guy or a yid, if it's with a guy, so the halach is, you now can't harvest the grapes, being that you know it's eventually going to become tamid, that's an issue. However, you could work with him in the wine press itself. Aren't you being metamechulin? And isn't it a problem? Yeah, it is a problem to be metamechulin, but it's tamid. As long as the guy starts it, he puts it in the gas, it's tamid already. Once it's tamid, there's no issues. If you work for a yid, it's more chamer. Because a yid, you can't be baitzer, but you also can't be derech. Because being that the Yid's doing it, guy's not doing an Avera. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvah. A Yid is doing an Avera. So being that a Yid is doing an Avera, you, by helping him be Doirech, even though the Iker Toma happened already, you're still viewed as a Messiah, the Over Avera. That's why it's more Chomer. Stating that, there is a certain job you're allowed to have within a Jewish vineyard where they do things wrong. Avamalichim, Imoy, Chavius, Lagas, Vinaminagas. You can be involved in the logistics. You can be involved in the transporting of the wine and the barrels. That aspect of it, as long as you're not being metamed, you're not working in that gas, you're not in the coal mine, as long as you're not in the trenches, mamish, in that case, it's going to be okay. Similar halacha, Nachtim Shoyes Betumah, a baker that prepares bread, dough, Betumah, loy lashim, loy archanimai. So if he's a yid, you're not allowed to be lashimai, you're not allowed to be oirachimai, because we assume that his kelim are all tame, you're being misayeya, you can't get involved. I'm a lishim, pass the palter. But if you want to take the pass and bring it to a palter, we all know what that means, to a baker, that's something that's going to be okay. So, to Gemara. So we had a Mishnah, pretty straightforward Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that even though there's a halacha, sugis of yayin when it comes to a guy, very, very chamor, but yayin is only viewed as yayin once it's finished. Meaning it's already in the bar. But until it gets to the bar, it's in the gas, it's on the chute. At that point, it doesn't sound like there's going to be any issue. Stating that, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna and Amir walks into this medrash one day, and he says the following, quote, yayin. Why? Kivan shehischali mashech. As soon as it starts coming out of the grapes, oisei yayin esech. It's subject to all the halachas of yayin esech. So Rav Huna said, you want to know when the halachas of yayin esech? Achal. As soon as the grapes start oozing a little bit of juice, at that point it's yayin esech. Feit the gemara tanan. Loikin gasputa min oivikin chavim. The Mishnah says you're allowed to buy gasputa from a guy. Vavu bishanot avayodei. Vinasal tapok. Even if he touched it and he put it on the hump, it's mefurish, that it doesn't become yayin esech as soon as it starts oozing juice. It doesn't become yayin esach until it gets to the bar. I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, you have to make a super duper akimta in the Mishnah. The Mishnah's not talking about a regular case. The Mishnah's talking about begas pikuka umaleya. It's talking about with a shoot that took the juices down, that was stuffed. It was blocked off. Meaning, if the shoot was open, so that right now, juices are flowing in the gas, and it's going to now go down this slide, go down this chute, and into the bar, at that point it would be off limits. As soon as it starts giving off wine, kivat shehischali mashech could be a prof. The Mishnah's talking about where number one, it was Malaya, number two, it was pekuka. Malaya, it was stuffed. The gas was literally stuffed with grapes, so it was very hard. There was no room, really, for juices to even come out. And number two, the chute was blocked off. There was no way for it to get down that slide. But then a chenami, if the chute was open and it wasn't so malaya, it would be also tashma. The next part of the Mishnah, a chenami, begas pekuka malaya, the same akimta. Tashma, you're at the bar. The Mishnah said, if it goes to the bar, mashav bar aser, vashar muter. And this already, the Gemara thinks, is checkmate. Because here it sounds like you're dealing with a chelik of it is in the bar, and the other chelik of it is, what, in the gas, where the chute is plugged? Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like the plug is open. The chute is flowing very, very freely. And fakir, some of it is in the bar, and some of it is not in the bar. And still, it says clearly, vashar muter, even though some of it is open. The terrace is only mashe bebar that's going to be awesome. So, luchura, you have a kasha. How could Rav Huna say, yayin kivich hischali mashech, oise yayin esech? Isn't it not like the Mishnah? I'm Rav Huna like kasha. Kam be Mishnah Rishayna, kam be Mishnah Achrayna. Rav Huna knew it was not like our Mishnah, but Rav Huna also knew that there was a before and after in the Mishnah. There was a Mishnah Rishayna, and there was a Mishnah Achrayna. Tanya, we learned they used to say badad. So badad is an acronym. It stands for three halachas. Number one, ein baitzim ma'ovik kechavim begas. You're not allowed to work together with the ma'ovik kechavim in the gas. Sha'asu ligrin tumah lechulin shebaretz Yisrael. Number two, they used to say the ein darchin im Yisrael she oise peirosav bitumah. You're not allowed to be direch with the Yisrael who's oisa peiroisa betuma sha'asa l'sayei de over avera avol darchim ima oivik echavim begas, but you're allowed to be darich with an oivik echavim begas. Now this braisa, this is our Mishnah. That's the Barishina, right? All three halachas are in our Mishnah. Number one, ein boitzim oivik echavim begas. Boitzim means you can't harvest. You're not allowed to harvest grapes for a guy, because being that you're harvesting it to give it to the guy, to put it in the gas, which is going to be going tumah, even for chulin Eretz Yisrael, that's a problem. You're not allowed to be doirich with a yid. Yid is more chamer, because you're mesayeh de over avera. But you could be doirich with a guy, because there's no mesayeh de over avera, because the guy's not doing an avera when he's metame chulin. And being that the guy started, he created the tumah, you're not really doing anything when you're doirich with him to be moisef. V'loi chai shino d'ravuna. And essentially, you see not like Ravuna. Because we said by the fact that you're allowed to be doirich with a guy, there's two chedushim. Number one, there's no problem being goyim tumah. Why is there no problem being goyim tumah? Because the tumah was already created when the guy put it inside. Number two, there's no issue of benefiting from yayin esach. Why? Because it's not yayin esach. Because when you're doirich in the gas is not yayin esach. That's not like Rafuna Zalocha. But the chazru loimar. But later they changed. They flipped from our Mishnah. And they said, dabad. What does dabad mean? Dabad means, number one, or davav, the way the Bach has it. Ein dorchem emo oivik kechavim begas. You're not allowed to be dorich with oivik kechavim begas. We shouldn't Rav Huna. Because even in the gas, we look at it as being yayin esach. The ein boitzer in Yisrael, shayis beres betoma. You're not allowed to be boitzer with Yisrael. The kol shkein shein dorchem. You're certainly not allowed to be dorich. Avo boitzer oivik kechavim begas. But you're allowed to be boitzer with oivik kechavim begas. Shemutal ligrim toma luchulin shem Eretz Yisrael. Because you're allowed to be gaim toma luchulin in Eretz Yisrael. So really, what they flipped in the Mishnah Achrena was on two things. Number one, they said, you're not allowed to be doirich with a goy begas. And the reason is because even in the gas, there's a concept of yayin esach. That's the first thing they switched. Not like our whole Mishnah. Our whole Mishnah, no. Chazru leimar, on second thoughts, they changed from the Mishnah. Additionally, another thing that they changed was that you're allowed, that muta ligroin tumah l'chulim Eretz Yisrael. That you're allowed to be goyrim tumah Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you are allowed to be boitzer ima oivik echavim begas. Now, if you're halti cheshmen, you're going to ask an obvious question. What's the obvious question? You can't be boitzer with Yisrael, sha'isa peiroisa betumah, v'kolshkin sha'in darchen. But you could be boitzer with a guy. Now, in our mission, you couldn't be boitzer with a guy. Because when you're boitzer, you do it at ayta dachi to be matame, you're not allowed to be goyim tumah l'chulim Eretz Yisrael. If chazrul aymar, you could be goyim tumah l'chulim Eretz Yisrael. Then why are you not allowed to be boitzer with Yisrael? Why can't you be doirich with Yisrael? What's the problem? You're being goyim tumah. There's no other issue. So if the problem is with Yisrael, there's no yayin esach. The only issue is the tumah. So if the whole issue is the tumah, then what should be the problem? Rashi asks the kasha. Rashi says an unbelievable chiddush, something that's really worth speaking out right on. And that is that the issue with the yid is not the chulin. The issue with the yid is the tumah. Because a yid's chulin, until he gives Trumas of Maestris, is Tevel. Tevel has in it a Tarovis of Truma. At Tevel, at some point, you're going to be Mafresh Truma. And the Truma is in the Tevel, even before you Mafresh the Tevel. So the issue with being Dorich and Beitzah with Yisrael is not Alts the Chulin Shabbai. It's Alts the Kachim Shabbai. Where's their Kachim? This Truma. But regardless, as it relates to the Iker point, Rafuna said, the kasha was, it's not like the whole Mishnah. The teretz is, like kasha, kama Mishnah Rishayna, kama Mishnah Achrayna. In the Mishnah Rishayna, it's true. Rafuna's not like the Mishnah Rishayna. But Rafuna knew there was a Mishnah Achrayna. Rafuna knew there was a before and after in the thought process of the Chachamim. The Chachamim used to think that when it's in the gas, when it's in that original wine press, there's no issues. But Chazru Leimar, not that way. And therefore, they paskind ein dorchim emo'evik echavim begas, mishum de Rafuna. Rafuna paskind like the Mishnah Achrayna. Rafuna didn't paskind like the Mishnah Rishayna. We'll speak out some rate about this tomorrow.